The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Every once in a while, probably more regularly now than before, I'm just like, hey, you know what, Lord? Get me out of here.
Yeah.
Get me out of here. Enough is enough. It's just insane. Just get me out of here. Or just biding time here on this rock known as planet Earth and get me out of here and come, Lord Jesus. Of course, when you say that, and I'm often aware of this, when I say come, Lord Jesus, I also know that there's people in my life that I haven't shared the gospel with, and I bear some responsibility for that. Because if Jesus came back tomorrow, judgment day is here, and that's it. Story's over. Sheep and the goats, the wheat and the chaff are separated. But in God's patience, it seems like evil is winning. It's not. God is waiting. Mm-hmm. And every minute God waits is mercy. Mm-hmm. And we should praise the Lord for that. Welcome back. It is Theology Thursday here on the Steve Noble Show. Pastor Chad Harvey back in the house. How are you?
Steve, I'm doing great. Thanks for letting me be on here, man. I love it. Love being with you. You're a great encourager.
I am?
You are, man.
Why?
Well, because I think sometimes I'm the only one that thinks this way, you know. And so every now and then it's good to meet another radical so you realize
yes.
Maybe I'm not or maybe just it's the two of us losing our mind and everybody else
it
is
could
normal.
Be.
I don't
yes,
know.
Yes. Yeah, that's a distinct possibility. Yeah. You came up with a name for me years ago. Do you remember what it was?
The Troubler of Israel?
Yes.
That's it, man. That's
very good.
That's a compliment.
That's still stuck. That's a compliment.
Yeah, that's a compliment.
So you're encouraging me as well. Enough of the Mutual Admiration
yeah,
Society.
Oh, my goodness.
We're going to talk about heaven today. I really appreciated the series that you did recently at Cross Assembly. If you're here in the Triangle area, you want a church that's open and free and preaching the full counsel of God without apology or holdback, that would be Cross Assembly, where Pastor Chad is the senior pastor. Why'd you do it? A message on heaven in the midst of all this craziness in the world.
Well, you know, honestly, I was praying about it, obviously, and I really felt the Lord speak to my spirit. When I say he speaks, because, you know, I'm a Pentecostal, it wasn't an audible thing. It was louder than that. The Lord really kind of convicted me that Christians have gotten so wrapped up in politics,
yeah.
intersectionality, all this division that's going on. I really felt the Lord said, look, you guys have gotten so focused on the here and now that you've lost sight of eternity. Mm-hmm. And I really wanted to take about 3 weeks to get us back into an eternal vision.
Yeah.
You know? And,
yeah.
you know, it's interesting, Steve, Jesus himself, because there's so much stress going on. I mean, everybody's stressed out.
Stressed out.
I read there was a guy, his name is Richard Leahy. He's an anxiety specialist. He said the average, the average teenager today has the same level of anxiety as a psychiatric patient back in the 1960s.
Jeez,
it's amazing.
Weeks.
And, you know, Jesus, so here's what Jesus says to his disciples in John 14. He says, all right, I'm about to die. They hate me. They're going to hate you. They're coming after you. Everybody's going to be coming against you. And then he says in John 14:1, hey, now don't let your hearts be troubled. And then what he does, though.
But be of good cheer. And when I read that, I'm like him jumping up in the air and kicking his heels together, going, hey, but be of good cheer, guys.
Yeah,
you
just told us we're all going to die. But he says, in my Father's, he goes right into heaven.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? So he says, don't be anxious. I'm going to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
So I think what Jesus is trying to say is, if you find yourself anxious, worried, stressed out, remember, I go to prepare a place for you.
Yeah.
Heaven, I think, crushes anxiety.
Crushes anxiety, and especially right now, given everything going on in the news and politics, Biden, Trump, whatever, wherever you want to go, China virus, CCP, whatever you want to talk about. We act as if, us in the evangelical church, oftentimes act, I've seen it for the last year, I've struggled with it myself, as if this is it.
Yeah.
This is it, the whole deal, this is it right now. So our ship is going down, it's got a million holes in it, everybody's crazy, this place is losing its mind, this is all terrible, I'm just going to hide in the corner, take my Xanax and go to sleep.
Yeah.
As if there's no such thing as heaven.
Yeah.
That's kind of how we live.
We do, absolutely. I do this little exercise periodically at church. I'll tell everybody, on the count of three, blink your eyes. 1, 2, 3, and everybody will blink. I said, if you live to be age 76, that blink is 1/6 billionth of your life.
Wow.
And yet, in the scope of eternity, our 76 years is quicker than that blink. So why are we so focused on
yep.
the blink
right.
when we really need to be focused on eternity?
Exactly. Yeah. I used to do this in the adult Sunday school class I taught at a church. And went the whole room. And I had a little whiteboard up front. And I just drew a little dot up in the upper left-hand corner. Then I drew this long, long line with the infinity sign at the end. And I said, okay, see a little dot there? That's your 76 years here on Earth.
Yep.
The whiteboard, the walls, the floor, and the ceiling represents eternity and every cubic inch here. And we lose our minds as if the dot is everything.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's not. Yes. So where do we start when we think about heaven? Because I have a pretty sanctified imagination when it comes to heaven.
Yeah.
But how do you kind of unpack it? Because it really is an enormous theme. The scriptures point us to it a lot. Jesus talked about it a lot. But how do we kind of handle it in a way that's healthy?
Well, Steve, I'll say this. You know, people have said before, well, so-and-so is so heavenly-minded, he is no earthly good. I haven't met a lot of Christians like that. I've met a lot of Christians who are so earthly-minded, they're no heavenly good. I think the starting place for heaven, for me, this is what really made the light bulbs go off for me a couple years ago, and Randy Alcorn's book on heaven helped with this.
Yeah,
this may not mean a lot to you, but it meant a lot to me. Heaven is a real, literal, physical place. See, we get into Platonic dualism. Plato said the physical world is bad, spiritual world is good. That's actually not biblical. Heaven is a real, literal, physical place. A lot of Christians think of this wispy, kind of ghosty, cloudy
ethereal
place. Yeah, I will say this. I think this world is, if anything, this is the false world. I think heaven is the real world. And, you know, where is heaven? If it's a literal place, we don't know. It could be in another dimension. It's interesting. Now physicists are saying there are probably 4 to 10 dimensions out there, which incidentally, Nachmanides, he was a religious, he was a Jewish scholar back in the 1300s. He said there were 10 dimensions.
And that's
before super colliders and all this kind
of
stuff.
The other mess.
So heaven may be in another one of these dimensions. I've got some great quotes. It could be in a parallel universe. I mean, listen to this. The Scientific American magazine a little while back had an article by Max Tegmark, and he says, look, parallel universes. He's not even coming from a Christian standpoint. Parallel universes almost certainly exist. Discovery Magazine had physicist Brian Greene, who's been studying black holes. He said, and again, he's not coming from a Christian viewpoint, the more I study black holes, the more I realize that the world that we live in is a shadow of a real dimension.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing, man?
Amazing.
And here's a third one. John Barrow, John Webb, and Scientific American quote, scientists are now beginning to suspect that our universe is just a shadow of a larger reality. So heaven is a real, literal, physical place. It may be in a parallel dimension. It may be in a parallel universe, but it's real.
I mean, it's really cool to think about eventually where it ends up.
Yeah.
Because now, people sit there and think, like you're talking about, that heaven is this ethereal thing, wispy thing. It's out there somewhere. But eventually, it's going to be right here.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's going to be enormous. It's mind-boggling to think about. So we're going to talk about that. I want to talk about where heaven is now. What do people experience in heaven now if you die now? But versus when Jesus comes back, heaven comes down. We're going to keep unpacking that. All about heaven today on Theology Thursday with my good friend, Pastor Chad Harvey, Cross Assembly Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back.
Oh, angel
said, from a
I'm not a gambling man. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. I'm not a gambling man, but if I were, I would bet a whole lot of money that you don't know who that band is that we're listening to right now.
Is it the Gaither Vocal Band? I don't know.
That's Pastor Chad Harvey, the one and only. I'm not going to tell you.
Tell me.
I'm not going to tell you. Are you going to tell him, Seth? Are you going to tell him who it is? You're going to tell him? Go ahead, tell him.
Oh, Coldplay. I do like Coldplay.
You do like Coldplay.
Clocks and what's the other song I like? Speed of Sound.
Oh,
and,
we found a chink in the hunting armor of Pastor
Chris,
Chad Harvey.
Chris Martin was married to Gwyneth Paltrow. Well, I don't think they're married now, though.
Yeah. Do you get, like, People Magazine or something? How do you know that?
Teen Vogue. I'm a subscriber.
You better repent. There goes your church. I hope you enjoyed your time as senior pastor. We're talking to Pastor Chad Harvey, Cross Assembly. Recently did a series on heaven. And in the midst of all this craziness and frustration and argument and hatred and division, oftentimes we keep our eye on this earth. We forget if you're in Christ, if you're a born-again Christian, if you've got all your eggs in Jesus' basket, if you're sitting there going, if I ask you, hey, you're going to heaven today? And you say, I think so or I hope so, then you don't know so. Okay, you're outside of what the gospel says, because the gospel says in 1 John that you can know so. So I always do that. I always remind people, if you're counting on yourself at all for getting to this place we're talking about today, for getting to heaven, if you think your resume has anything to do with it, then you don't understand the gospel. So for those of us that are born again, which is not some weird phrase out there that's biblical, Jesus talking to Nicodemus, if you're born again, this is your destiny. This is your future. This is safe and secure. And it's mind-boggling, and it's really incredible to think about.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then it makes us, because you were talking about, hey, this is like 1/6 billionth or whatever. You blink your eye. What was that? What was that? You blink your eye, and that's what?
It's 1/6 billionth of your life.
Of your life.
Yeah.
And our time here on earth relative to an eternity in heaven is
less than that less, blink, man. Yeah. Ain't that crazy?
It's crazy.
And you were so wrapped up over this blink, man.
Yeah, and who's in the White House and all that kind
exactly.
of stuff. We've got
exactly.
a whole lot more to live for than just this stuff. So we live in the here and the now, but man, we should long for the there and the then, shouldn't
Absolutely.
We?
Absolutely. And I got a great quote. We'll talk about it later. But C.S. Lewis basically said, hey, look, those Christians who've been the most focused on heaven did the most for Jesus right here on earth.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah,
yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the challenge for us is trying to understand this, living for it, and having a proper understanding. I think some people get confused about it. I think even more so, Chad, people, we just don't think about it.
No.
Should we think about it? Should we contemplate it? You mentioned Randy Alcorn's book on
yeah.
heaven, which is like 400 pages. It's huge. Andy Davis at First Baptist Durham's coming out with a book on heaven
oh,
pretty soon.
Oh, wow.
I had him on late last year, and it's going to be awesome. I love thinking about it and
yeah.
talking about it because it gets me excited about this future that was purchased.
Well, and look, I think my gift is not encouragement, so get ready, Christians. We're about to experience persecution. But listen to this. 125 A.D., Emperor Hadrian asked the philosopher Aristides, he said, these weirdos Christians, we're killing them, and yet this thing is still growing. Explain to me why the more we kill them, the more it grows.
Yeah.
And listen to what Aristides wrote back to Emperor Hadrian. He said, look, if any righteous person of their number dies and passes away from this world, they rejoice and give thanks to God as if he were leaving one place and going to another.
How about that?
Isn't that interesting?
Imagine
so
that.
His answer to that pagan, wicked emperor as to why Christianity was growing is when they die, they start clapping and celebrating because
yeah.
they actually believe they're going somewhere better.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
There was a thing you talked about, and then Randy on Facebook Live asked a great question. What are the treasures that we are storing up in heaven? I love that question. We're going to get to that one. But you said something about for some reason, you were using a compass.
Yeah.
Talking
yeah.
about north.
Yeah.
And that was really interesting. What was that?
Yeah. Now, look, this is one of those conjectures. I'm not going to
yeah.
die on this hill.
Extra-biblical, perhaps, based on things we find in Scripture.
That's a good way of phrasing it. So where is heaven? You know, Revelation 21 said, I saw the new heaven coming down. Now, a skeptic would say, aha, gotcha. Because if you're saying heaven is up, up is one direction if you're in North Carolina. Up is another direction if you're down in Australia. But did you know there is one fixed point on planet Earth that's always up, and that's the north. The Polaris, North Star,
right,
is
right.
positioned right over our axis. And so that's why mariners use the North Star, Polaris, to guide, because that is a fixed point. Now, it's very interesting. Scripture seems to indicate that God is in the north. I want you to look at this. Isaiah 14, 13 through 14, it says God's throne is in the north. Mm. Leviticus 1:11, it says, offer a sacrifice northward toward God. Mm. Psalm 75, 6 through 7 says, promotion doesn't come from the east or the west or the south, but from God. Implication, he's toward the north. So here's what I think. I think one day heaven is going to break through into our dimension from the north.
Yeah.
I think that somehow, some way, there's some connection, and we're
going to
see true north coming down, you know, past Polaris
yeah.
into our atmosphere and coming down to planet Earth. But there is something. There's some other passages that just have this idea about North being significant as far as the throne of God.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I think that's good Bible exercise mm-hmm. to get in there and realize, even at the beginning of Randy Alcorn's book on heaven, he said, all right, in here I am going to exercise my sanctified imagination.
Yeah.
I can use Scripture as a launching point, but I'm going to go down some roads and just imagine some things.
Yeah.
And as long as they don't contradict any clear teaching of Scripture, you're fine.
Right.
But I think this is something that it's okay to kind of stargaze when it comes to heaven.
Yeah.
To almost be, to have a little wanderlust about, man, what's this going to look like? Because I'm going to spend all eternity there
mm-hmm.
and really not that much time on this fallen earth.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, again, is it in a parallel dimension? Is it in another universe? Is it, we don't know. Is it toward the north? Will, you know, Polaris kind of be the spot where
right.
God's throne room enters into our atmosphere? We don't know. But I do think that sometimes we don't have a tame enough imagination.
Yeah.
And that's why I like guys like C.S. Lewis, I'm not a Tolkien guy. I know you nerds are into Tolkien and Lord of the Rings.
Love
and all
to
that
be
kind
labeled. Thank you.
All that kind of stuff.
That.
But these were Christians that had a sanctified imagination, you know?
Yeah,
so
pretty cool.
It's interesting.
Is heaven right now, oftentimes people get confused thinking about, is it physical? Am I a disembodied self?
Yeah.
My body stays here in the grave, in the urn, whatever, at the crash site. And then I've got my spirit, which is in heaven. So heaven, like you said earlier, it's this wistfully kind of non-material place.
Yeah.
Is that accurate? Right
yeah,
now,
and so that's think? Where we have to, again, use our imagination. And I do like what Randy Alcorn says. He says, I think there are transitional bodies that we're going to have in heaven.
Because Jesus went up into heaven, ascended into heaven, left earth physically.
Yeah, exactly.
His body didn't collapse, and his soul, his spirit went. Yeah.
At the Mount of Transfiguration, the disciples see Moses and Elijah together. Now, wait a second. Moses has been dead for 1,400 years. His body is lying in the Jordan Valley somewhere.
Right. What's up?
So, but they're seeing a person. You know, Saul, with the Witch of Endor, they conjure up Samuel. He is there in bodily form, but his body is still in the ground. So that tells me that there's probably some type of transitional body until that day when our physical bodies, and we can talk about this, our physical bodies, I don't care if you've been cremated. Oh, I do care because I don't like cremation. But if you've been cremated, if you've decomposed, somehow, some way, God brings that body back together, resurrects it, and unites it with our spirit. Until that day comes, I think we probably have some type of transitional body in heaven.
Yeah, yeah. And then eventually, I want to talk about this because our mutual friend Dan Forrest, who was our great lieutenant governor for 8 years, who's an architect, figured out, because I want to talk about considering the new heaven and the new earth. And I used to think this, which impacted my environmental ethic, that the earth is just kind of swept away. Goodbye. See ya. And God creates a new one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so are you telling me God can't redeem something?
Yeah.
Because there's nothing he can't redeem.
Yeah.
And all of creation is redeemed through the gospel eventually. So I want to talk about that. Does the earth get burned up? What's this new heaven? What's this new earth? What's that like? We'll talk about rewards. I want to talk about the 70 sextillion known stars in the universe.
Yeah. All right. Interesting, man.
Because right now, the only person that really gets to enjoy that personally is God.
Wow.
But
wow.
Maybe we will, too.
Great
Who
point.
Knows? We'll talk about that with Pastor Chad Harvey when we come back. Name that tune, Theology Thursday special
going
here on the Steve Noble Show with Pastor
Chad Harvey. I think it's an appropriate song, man. I love that song. It's actually a cool song.
It's a great song. Yeah. When the man comes around, he said, I love that song. Think about the, go look it up and read the words.
Yeah, that's good, man.
And that
should
have an impact on your desire to share the gospel because there'll be a separation of the wheat and the chaff. The man's coming back around. And that's going to be intense. People go, I said this earlier. You go, I can't wait till Jesus comes back. Yeah, but there's going to be people there that are getting separated.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're going to know them.
Hey, and three times this week, Steve, I've talked to people about the Lord, and three times I'm good. And I'm not bashing these groups. I'm Episcopalian. Yeah. No, I'm good. I'm a Catholic.
Yeah.
Today, I'm good. I'm a Catholic. It's very – I've had four conversations like that this week. People are still relying on their good works to get them into heaven. Isn't that amazing, man?
What a lie.
Yep.
That's
exactly
what Satan wants you to think. Yep. That's right. It's all about you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I went – before my dad definitely knew the Lord, but he was away from solid teaching for a long time, and we would talk about things. And he really struggled with the exclusivity of Christ because he had some friends that were not Christian that were really nice, moral, caring, loving people. And he really struggled with that. And so when we had a conversation about it, I said, think about it, Dad. Think about, do you really think God, and this is my street level way of communicating, do you really think God would whack his son for like 30% of the population?
Yeah, yeah.
22% of the population?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna ask you to do something. Allow yourself to be humiliated, tortured, murdered. For, 22.6% of the population.
Yeah, the way I've put it is there are 100 ways to God. I'm going to sacrifice and kill brutally my son so that there can now be 101 ways to God.
Yeah,
not making sense.
It's really an offense to the Lord, ultimately. But it's great to have you here. Thank you. We're talking about heaven today with Pastor Chad Harvey, Cross Assembly Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. Let's talk about where heaven ends up.
Yeah.
Because we talk about the new heavens and the new earth.
Yeah.
And so on the new earth, before heaven comes, you get a new earth. Is it just like... God crushes, it's like a can, right? Crush it up like the paper, throw it in the garbage, poof, start a new one? Or does he refine and clean up the existing?
You know, and Peter makes it really clear that this thing is going to be, the elements will melt. He's going to take planet Earth, and he is going to totally purify it. I think through fire, people ask me, do you believe in global warming? Absolutely. God's going to burn this place up one day. He's going to purify it through fire. And so heaven...
Because fire is a purifying symbol all throughout Scripture.
Of God's judgment. And so what you're going to see, Steve, is wherever heaven is now is literally not where it's going to be for all eternity. It's actually going to come to planet Earth. We see that in Scripture. Heaven will one day come down and be here on a renewed planet Earth. And I take Revelation 22:16 very literally. It says this new heaven, when it comes down here on a planet Earth that has been burned through fire, renewed, purified, it's going to be 1,500 miles. By 1,500 miles, by 1,500 miles high. That is an incredible city. And people say, now, do you take that literally? Absolutely. And here's why. Revelation 21:17, it gives the measurements, 1,500 miles, 1,500, 1,500 a cube. And it says this, and it was 1,500 miles according to human measurements. Mm. It's almost like the book of Revelation is saying, I know what y'all going to try to do. Y'all going to try to spiritualize this and say 1,500 miles is symbolic. I want to tell you, it's 1,500 miles according to human measurements.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah. So, and of course, it'll be in the United States of America because we're the center of the universe.
Exactly. Yeah, right. Well, I'll save this little song lyric for later because I don't want to offend people. But it's interesting. 1,500 miles, look at this. That kind of length. Where would we have this? It would stretch from Canada to Mexico and from the Appalachian Mountains to California. That just kind of gives you an image of how big this is. And that's just the ground
floor. That's just the ground floor.
If it's 1,500 miles high, okay, that's 600,000 stories high.
Okay, and 600,000 stories high. Just try to wrap your mind around this. What's the tallest building on the planet? The Dubai Burj, right? Super cool, super massive. I mean, Tom Cruise went there and made a movie, right?
So I forgot he did that. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
163 floors, the Dubai Burj. The new heaven will be 600,000 floors.
Yeah,
up out of the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah,
just consider that. Look at from the Appalachians to California, the eastern boundary of California, and then elevate it. Just go straight up.
Yeah,
and you're like, okay, that's up out of the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah,
yeah. So what?
And if you're 1 mile away, you couldn't see it. If you're 10 miles away, you might be able to see the top.
The top. That's right. You talked about this. Dan Forrest did all this.
Dan
did
something. Now, listen what he's. Now, look, he's the architect.
Former lieutenant governor of North Carolina, by the way, who was an architect. So this is like his playground. So
he sent this over to me. It's kind of interesting. He said the ground level will be 2 million square miles or 62 trillion square feet at 600,000 stories tall. That square foot is 4 quintillion square feet.
Whoa.
Now, we don't know the total population of human history, but let's say 24 billion people go to heaven, which is really way too many because Jesus said very few find the road that leads to eternal life. But let's say that 24 billion people get to heaven. At 4 quintillion square feet, after you take out space for park, streets, green, you know, space, all that kind of stuff, if you have 24 billion people with that much square feet, that means each person has a living space of 392 million square feet.
392 million square
feet. What you said the Biltmore house was?
160,000 square feet.
Biltmore's house is 160,000 square feet, and each person here gets 392 million square feet.
And that includes green space.
That's parks. Green space, parks, roads, get all that stuff.
The river, the river of life, the tree of life, all of that's in there.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Isn't that amazing? If you take this literally, and I do, I get in more trouble, Steve, when I take the Bible allegorically than when I do literally.
Yeah.
When I take the Bible literally, about 95% of the time I'm safe.
Yeah, yeah. Really strong, really amazing to think about that. Okay, so life in heaven.
Yeah.
So we got a big place, right?
Yeah.
It's like Heavenly Cribs, MTV baptized Cribs, and everybody's got millions and millions of square feet. But actually what we do is we meet outside. You grab your portable cloud. You grab your harp. We all float up, and then we sing praise and worship songs.
And a mask. You got to wear masks.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Sorry.
I'm sorry.
You had to
too soon. I'm sorry. Okay. All right. But well, here.
Not in this room. It's not too soon. You're fine.
So Revelation 22:3. Because here's all right. There was a song when I was a kid. I know this is politically incorrect, but I can't get it in my head. Hank Williams Jr. saying, "If heaven ain't a lot like Dixie, I don't want to go." And when I was a kid, they said, "Now all we're going to do for all eternity is worship." Well, my context was traditional worship with a piano, organ, choir,
music,
and I thought, if we're going to do that for all eternity, I don't know that I want to go, you know? Here's what Revelation 22:3 says. There will no longer be any curse, and the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will serve him. Mm-hmm. So what did Adam and Eve do before the fall?
Worked in the garden.
They worked. That's not part of the curse.
No.
Work was before, you know,
productivity.
Genesis 2:15.
Creativity.
Yeah, keep the garden. So they worked, they worshiped, and they fellowshiped. Okay? I think this is going to be a reversal of the curse. So what are we going to do? We're going to work, and we can talk about what that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Good work. We're going to worship, and it's not going to be like any kind of worship we have here. It's going to be like, did you go to the Million Man March, the Promise Keepers Million Man
thing? I didn't
go
to it.
It was absolutely
incredible.
I didn't
care enough at the time.
A million men.
That's crazy.
Praising God.
You go, in D.C.?
In D.C. It's going to be like that times a million for all eternity. Yeah. So we're going to work, we're going to worship, and we're going to fellowship. That's it. That's what we do.
Because you have really have to expand your understanding of worship. Because I do this with my ethics class. When I went through my master's degree up at the seminary, I worked through this. And ethics as worship, you're always worshiping.
Yeah.
Everything you do is worship. And all that you do, whether you eat or drink, to all to the glory of God.
Yeah.
So that's you're worshiping. The way you treat your wife, the way you treat your husband, the way you build the deck, the way whatever.
Yeah.
So can I worship God by building things in his name for his glory? With his people, with all, because all the stuff in the box is his.
Mm-hmm.
We're just using his creation to build stuff.
Yeah.
And can I build things and create culture and art and music and homes or redecorate, whatever, into all to the glory of God? I think
absolutely.
So.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. And incidentally, I do think we're going to eat because Jesus is our prototype. Remember when Jesus had risen from the grave, he meets with the disciples. They're freaked out. And you remember what he says? Y'all have anything to eat?
That's right.
And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some bread or
that
something.
That's pretty cool.
And so, or a honeycomb. Honeycomb and a broiled fish. He ate in this glorified, resurrected body. You know, heaven is called often the marriage, what?
Supper
of the Lamb. So we're going to, I think we're going to eat. Now, how does that entail decomposition? And I don't understand all that stuff, but I do think we're going to eat.
I don't think you want to understand it because you don't want to be a vegetarian. Because well, there can't be any death. There can't be any meat. So what's
Jesus
it going to be?
Jesus asked for fish,
burgers?
Man. He was not.
Well, that was here.
Yeah, yeah. We'll see.
I think it's impossible burgers. I think
tofu,
God
bean
wants
sprouts.
If you want a porterhouse, Pastor Chad, I think God will provide a porterhouse for you that looks like it, smells like it, tastes like it. That might not be flesh.
Yeah, maybe, man.
Because, I mean, come on. He can do that,
yeah,
right? The impossible burger, not
well,
so impossible.
Because honestly, there'll be no more death. So how do you have meat?
So how do you have meat if there's no death?
Yep.
I know, you're struggling. I appreciate that. What about rewards in heaven? We're going to hit the break here pretty quick. But what about rewards?
You know, it's interesting that there are, throughout the New Testament, rewards offered to God's people. You know, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, now there's in store for me the reward for all of us who have longed for his appearing. And so there are different rewards in the Bible, and they're often portrayed as crowns, okay?
Yeah.
The crown of life, the crown of this, the crown of that. And in the book of Revelation, you see all these believers who are so overwhelmed with the goodness of God, they're like, we can't even describe it. So they take their crowns off
toss
and just throw them
at
his feet. You know something? And so I do think that's going to be the ultimate act of worship. When we get to heaven, we are so overwhelmed. We're like, I can't sing loud enough to tell you how much I love you. Here's the crown that I've earned. And I throw it
Man,
at
the
feet.
More you talk about the heaven, it's the more it sounds to me like just a socialist utopia.
Right.
Which is a whole another subject for a whole another day. We're talking to Pastor Chad Harvey, Cross Assembly Church here in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is Steve Noble and the Steve Noble Show. We'll wrap up our conversation about heaven. It's okay to be heavenly minded, by the way. We'll
Amen.
Be right back.
Amen. I don't know. I don't know this one.
It's good to know that. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show, Theology Thursday, with our good friend Pastor Chad Harvey, Cross Assembly Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. Talking about heaven. Let's just get down to the nitty gritty. Let's get the ugly stuff out of the way.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So we had this awesome golden retriever that we got when I was Mandy was. I think we got her when I was in ninth grade, maybe a freshman in high school. And she died at 12 or 13, and this family, golden retriever, awesome dog.
Mm-hmm.
And so will I see Mandy again in heaven?
No, because Mandy doesn't have a soul, number one. Number two, I can't see God condemning a – what about that chicken you ate last night? If he's going to be consistent, he's going to have to let that chicken in. He's going to have to let that cow in. I mean, I'm serious. And now my wife has this thing, and I think she and Billy Graham both said this. Heaven is a perfect place, and if having – that dog there makes it perfect, then yes, that dog.
Yeah, but that's
be
you defining the terms of the game.
Exactly. Look, you can't do that.
God's
man.
Like, hey, based on your definition of what a perfect heaven is, I'm going to make sure your little kitty cat is there.
They have no theological or biblical reason for saying that. And look, again, to be consistent, well, you know, my grandmother, who was lost, didn't meet Jesus. For heaven to be perfect, she really needs to be there
right.
as well. Okay, well, we'll let
now
grandma
you're
be there.
To violate
so,
the
yeah.
gospel.
So right. I'm sorry, your animals aren't going to be in heaven.
But if cats did go to heaven, they would be dogs.
They would be dogs, okay.
Of course, Danny Aiken, who's the president of Southeastern Baptist, says, you know what happens to cats when they go to heaven? And somebody will say something. He goes, no, cats don't go to heaven. Cats go to hell. Okay, all right. This is a way to influence people and make friends. Yeah. So this is a way to do it. Okay, so we were talking about what we're going to do in heaven. We were talking about rewards.
Yeah.
I love this thought because when you were talking about crowns, and when faced with the reality, because I love this when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of these is love. And love is the only one that actually passes into eternity.
Yeah.
You don't need faith anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith becomes your eyes.
Yeah.
You don't need faith. You don't need hope. Your hope is fulfilled.
You're there. Yeah.
Then you get love. So I think we're going to be so overwhelmed. If we, and I believe we get rewards in heaven, but we're going to turn right around and throw them all back at his
feet. Of Jesus,
just
yeah.
as more worship.
Absolutely.
And say, well, Mother Teresa's going to have a much bigger house than I am in heaven. And I'm like, I don't think, if Mother Teresa's in heaven, I don't think I'm going to care how big your house is.
Yeah.
Because that would be covetousness.
Yeah, right, right.
Or
right.
jealousy. And that's not there.
Yeah.
So, like, who cares?
Yeah.
Not that it's socialist,
mm-hmm.
But there is a thing where you got to flip all the scales because we're just not going to care about that stuff.
Jesus will be the center of everything, not the house,
everything.
Not the rewards. Not, it's all going to be about Jesus for all eternity. Yeah. Yeah.
So why be a more serious believer on earth if I'm not going to get anything in return in heaven?
Because, again, same reason here on earth as in heaven, because I love Jesus. Yeah. It's just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And we talked about that last night. We talked about the Trinity. It's interesting. Jesus is even the center of the Trinity, the Father adores the Son.
Yeah.
The Spirit exalts the Son. That's what we're going to be doing for all eternity.
Yeah, yeah. Super cool.
It's good.
There was something else. What else?
You talked about the cremation thing.
Cremation thing, right.
So how can a body that's been cremated get to heaven? How can a body that's gone into the ground and decomposed. Get to heaven? You know, because we do believe in this concept called the bodily resurrection of the dead, that God is going to raise up our bodies one day. And, you know, first law of thermodynamics, matter can neither be created nor destroyed. So that body that's decomposed or that body that's been cremated, it actually does still exist
at the molecular level. That
exactly.
stuff is still out there somewhere.
And we still have the ability to take a single strand of DNA, clone it, and reproduce an entire body. If we, as stupid as we are, can do that, don't you think God can take one strand of... But listen to this. I'm going to give me a minute, because this is from John Dunn, 1500s. He said, where are all the atoms of the flesh that have decomposed? What about all the ashes of the bodies burned 1,000 years ago? What about all the bodies drowned in the ocean that are now jelly at the bottom of the sea? What about that arm that was lost and buried in Europe, and that leg that was lost in Africa or Asia? What about the fact that a worm will eat our dead body, and then that worm dies and molders into dust, and that dust is blown into a river, and that river tumbles into the sea. Still, God knows in what part of the world every grain of every man's dust lies. And as he calls forth the bodies of his saints in the twinkling of an eye, that body that was scattered all around the world will come together and sit down at the right hand of God in a glorious resurrection. Isn't that powerful, man?
Powerful.
That is powerful,
isn't that
brother.
Amazing?
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
And then that's that sanctified imagination thing. And just go, wow, it's cool to contemplate that.
Yeah.
And then contemplating the reaction that we're having right now is worship in and of itself.
Absolutely.
Because you're just amazed at all these different aspects
of
God's existence. It's
really
powerful.
That kind of knowledge it blows my mind.
Oh, man. Yeah, incredible. So will we recognize each other?
Yeah.
And what age are we going to be? Will you have hair?
It's a great question. We will recognize people because Jesus was recognized. But have you noticed this? He was recognized in his post-resurrected body, but it took people a few seconds.
Yeah, it took him a few seconds.
It was Jesus, but there was something different about him. We will recognize individuals. What age will we be? That's a great question as well, because age deals with time. Time is a human invention, and eternity is a timeless place.
C.S. Lewis says, God operates in the unbounded now.
Yeah, isn't that great? Here's my theory. I think whatever my biological peak was going to be here on planet Earth is what I will be
in
heaven.
That was a long time ago, Jim.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know that you, I don't know how old he, you know your
peak? He's 17.
Oh, man. Okay. They say like 25, 26 when you hit your biological peak, man.
Yeah.
So
sounds about right.
And that's important because, you know, parents who've lost babies
yeah.
or embryos or fetuses, they're not going to be embryos and fetuses floating around in heaven. They're going to be, I think, whatever that peak would have been for that child, had that child made it to childbirth.
That's a really cool thought. Al Mohler and Danny Akin, who I mentioned earlier, Danny Akin's the president of Southeastern Baptist Theological Seminary, wrote a great article. Whenever people want to talk about that subject of what happens to babies, what happens to young children, what happens to aborted babies, you can make a really, I believe, a really solid theological case that they go right into the presence of the Lord. And so for us, the Noble family, we have four kids on earth. We have one in heaven that we lost due to miscarriage. And if you've been down the abortion road, I mean, it's just, this is so cool to me that one day in heaven, that child that we lost in a miscarriage, one day this person's going to walk over and say,
you don't know me, but
hey, Dad.
Yeah.
And we'll know because we don't see through the glass dimly anymore. And if you've had an abortion, that child, if you go to heaven through Christ, that child is going to walk up to you and say, hi, Mom.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, Mom.
Yeah.
No condemnation.
Yeah.
No guilt. Gina's reading a book. Well, she gave me that book.
It's a great book, man. Yeah, I was going to bring some of those stories. They're pretty
and
cool.
And she said one of the things about it that happens over and over again when people have had these near-death experiences, they had an experience, set aside whether you agree with it or not. But this is a powerful point that's scriptural. As they knew that they were fully exposed in terms of their whole life,
mm-hmm.
thoughts, deeds, things they should have done that they didn't do, but yet fully loved.
Yeah. And that's something.
That's
amazing,
man. Fully known
and fully loved.
Fully loved.
Yeah. 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 And Steve, it's interesting as well. And we could do a whole show on Do Children Go to Heaven? God talks about these babies that are killed by his people in the mm-hmm. Old Testament, to the god Moloch. He calls them my children.
Mine.
And he calls them innocent. So that tells me that when they die, they go into the presence of God. And you think about this. Jesus said very few find the road that leads to eternal life. Yet John, when he's in heaven, says, no, I see multitudes.
Yeah, multitudes.
So how can there be multitudes when very few people find the road that leads to eternal life? Would you know what, one-third of all pregnancies end?
Yeah, both things can be true.
Exactly. I think what John sees are the multitudes of all these children who will also be in heaven
as well. Oh, man. Well, look at it this way. Right now, worldwide, there's about 40 million abortions per year.
Wow. Wow.
Worldwide.
If you believe all of them are going to be in heaven, that's the multitude.
That's the multitude.
Sees.
And I'm trying to remember how this. Somebody asked me one day, Steve, do you think there's going to be more people in heaven or hell?
Mm.
And I'm like, well, that sounds like a trick question.
Mm-hmm.
So I used my lifeline and I texted the aforementioned Danny Akin.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Akin goes, actually, I think it's probably going to be more in heaven simply because of infant mortality and abortion.
Absolutely. I think he's 100% right about that. I really do believe that.
They go, whoa.
Yeah. No, I do. I believe that.
It's a pretty amazing thought.
You know, there's this thing attributed to Calvin, which I don't think Calvin actually said, that the footprints of hell are littered with the floor of hell is littered with the footprints of infants. There is an extreme version of Calvinism that talks about infant damnation.
Yep. Yep.
That,
oh, I know.
These infants still have the sinful. I don't believe that. I believe they're going to be in heaven. And here's one more quick thing, Steve. Revelation 7:9, John says, I look in heaven and I see every tribe, every tongue, and every nation, which tells me cultural differences that we have on earth don't stop when we get to heaven. And, you know, I used it when I was a kid. I thought everybody dies, and when you get to heaven, they all turn white. So if you're a black person, you die. When you get to heaven, you're white.
Yeah.
If you're an Asian, you die. You get white. No. The cultural differences that we have here on earth, they actually continue in heaven because God loves this diversity. He loves these cultural differences.
Created it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beautiful thing, yeah. And it carries on in heaven.
Yeah, I love that. And in every tribe, tongue, and nation, you wouldn't know that existed if we all looked the same. And by the way, if you're Caucasian like Pastor Chad and I, actually, in terms of the worldwide actual church, we're a spot in the buttermilk.
Yeah.
Most people in the worldwide church are not Caucasian.
No. You know, it has shifted to the global south and east. It used to be that the west was the center of Christianity. You and I are now in the minority, man.
That's right.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, yeah. It is an amazing thing. So to wrap it up, we got about a minute and a half left. Just help us to understand, how do we kind of marinate? How should we incorporate thoughts of heaven into our regular walk with the Lord?
Well, I'll say this. If what we've just said is true, that heaven is real and hell is real and Jesus is the only difference, then you tell me, what's the most important thing we can do in life? That's influence others for Jesus. If we really say that this is true, and, you know, how do I get there? To me, that's the big question. How do I get there? How do I lead others there? You know, it's interesting. Jesus has just talked about heaven. So he's just talked about heaven. You know, my Father's houses, there are many mansions. That's the context. And John says, Thomas says, how do we get there? And Jesus says that great verse, I am the way, the truth, the life.
That's right.
He's talking about heaven. So my thing is, if what I've just said is true, what you've just said is true, heaven is real and Jesus is the only way to get there, the most important thing we can do is influence others for Jesus Christ.
For Jesus Christ. It's all about the gospel. Amen. And it's all about Jesus. I share this with you on one of those Sundays. It's kind of a tricky way of doing it. Pastor Greg Laurie does it. You'll probably remember.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you know, we're like, hey, there's only one road to God. Well, actually, all roads lead to God because everybody's going to face judgment. But only one road leads to heaven.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the road that goes right through Jesus
Christ.
Amen.
I love it.
It's awesome. Pastor Chad, great having you. Thanks for being here.
Love it, man. Thanks,
Steve. We've got others scheduled. I think you're going to be in once a month. Yeah. For the next several months.
Well, yeah, man, if you'll have me, I love it.
Until Jesus calls you home.
It stresses me out. I don't know how you stay so cool and calm, man, but yeah.
I'm crazy. That's all. All right, thanks for being here. We'll do it again real soon. We'll be back tomorrow. I got a lot to talk about, especially the public flogging I'm experiencing today on Facebook. I'll share that with you tomorrow.
Oh boy.
I'll see you guys then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.